Welcome to the Weekly Leadership Experience, a place for leaders to get inspired, be challenged, and grow. I am your host, Rashad Oberlander. Let's get started. Today's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience is brought to you by my 7-day Leadership Growth Challenge. It's a free challenge that I've created, and it's delivered by email over the course of 7 days. I've created 7 compelling questions to challenge various aspects of your leadership, the way you lead, and why you lead. Go to rashadoberlander.com and scroll down until you find the 7-day leadership challenge, or look for the link in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Well, hello, my leader friend, and welcome to this week's show. Today, I want to talk about fear and failure in leadership. And I'm going to start with a quote. The longer you live, the more you fail. Failure is the mark of a life well lived. In turn, the only way to live without failure is to be of no use to anyone. Brandon Sanderson. And the quote comes from a fiction series called The Way of Kings. And it's a great read. I read a little bit of fiction here and there amongst my business and leadership books. I've been really enjoying this series, and he starts every chapter with sort of some little quote or excerpt. And when I read that quote, it just smacked me right between the eyes. And it's so good, I'm going to read it to you again. The longer you live, the more you fail. Failure is the mark of a life well lived. In turn, the only way to live without failure is to be of no use to anyone. Brandon Sanderson. I hope that maybe some of you would like to write that down. It is powerful and profound, and I think so many of us need to hear that. That failure is actually okay. And I have had a struggle in much of my life with a fear of failure. I think many of you probably resonate with that struggle. That fear can be paralyzing, demoralizing, crippling, disempowering, and absolutely disheartening. Not wanting to fail and being afraid of failure has held me back and holds us all back so often in so many ways. I know for me that my leadership has suffered because of it. My team has suffered because of it. And it's something that we need to change. We need to shift how we look at failure, but we also need to shift how we look at fear. I believe that much of our society idolizes winning, and oftentimes winning at all costs. Don't get me wrong, I'm a very competitive person. I like to win. I like to be number one. But there's an almost unhealthy obsession with it. Like, you have to be number one. You have to win. You have to come out on top. And if our sports teams are winning, we celebrate. You know, we jump on the bandwagon. But if they're losing, if you spend any time on social media, you know what I'm talking about. And we roast these teams, man. Like, we roast the coaches, we roast the players. Everybody's trashing people because they're not winning. And their measure of success becomes the game won. Have they won more games than they've lost? You know, business-wise, how much profit are you turning? How many awards are on your wall? Who's the best? And it's all a big competition that someone has to win. And if you don't win, well, you're just another loser who failed. And I think that these are many of the things that play on in the cinema of our mind, that if we're not winning, we are being perceived as a loser. And we need to reframe how we look at failure and how we look at fear. Because the way it is right now is way off and it's wildly ineffective. Fear is actually a normal human emotion. It's okay to be afraid. You need fear in certain circumstances to provide the right motivation. And no, I'm not talking about the carrot and stick style of management. Please don't start doing that. That's not okay. Fear, like anger, frustration, joy, and so on, is a feeling. Feelings don't exist on their own, but are driven by your thoughts. So when you experience fear, you have to pause and ask yourself, why do you feel that way? What are the thoughts you're having that cause you to be fearful? So if you verbalize, if you say this, if I say this, I'm afraid of failing. Well, why? What is it that makes you afraid of failing? And is it failing or is it something else? I'm going to come back to that. Failure is an important teaching tool and actually has a crucial role in our own development and in the development of our teams. Now, in fact, failure is something every parent knows, even if we don't call it failure. Just about any skill a child learns is built upon a foundation of trying, getting it wrong, trying, failing, trying again, before eventually getting it right. There are certain things that you need to control that you don't want them to fail at. For example, getting in the car for the first time with a new driver, failure is not an ideal circumstance, right? You need to be able to control the failure in a non-fatal environment, right? But it's giving everyone an opportunity to be able to learn and make mistakes and for it to be okay and for it not to be viewed as a fatalistic thing. So our children learn these things. We know that kids have to learn to walk and they fall down and they learn to walk and they fall down and they learn to walk and they fall down and eventually they learn to walk, then they learn to run and they fall down some more because they're not very coordinated yet. And we go through this cycle, and then our kids, or we turned 18 one day, entered the workforce, and suddenly we are all expected to get it right the first time every time. Really? If you think about it, that's a little bit crazy. Really, it is. And like I mentioned before, you know, there are environments where failure is not an option. Errors can be fatal. And I'm not encouraging the idea that all failure is okay. If you are an airline pilot, there's a very low tolerance for mistakes. If you are a surgeon, there is a very low tolerance for mistakes. And there's plenty of other areas where the room for error is very minimal. You know, and which is why certain professions and certain jobs require extensive training to make sure that you know the job so well that when you are in the real world, those mistakes are less likely to happen. But that isn't what I'm talking about today. When you begin to break it down, failure is probably not the real issue driving your fear. There are other things at play. And for me, some of these factors have been worrying about looking bad to friends and family, losing my income, not being able to provide for my wife and children, or disappointing someone. And this has definitely held me back in some cases from pushing myself or taking on a new challenge. I like to be very challenge-driven, and I like to be, you know, motivated to try new things. But at the same time, there have been moments where being worried about the outcome of possibly failing has definitely held me back. Now, at one point in my career, and this was right before I did take on a new challenge, I had someone ask me what was holding me back. And I said honestly that I was afraid to fail. And I felt that I could be honest with that person, and it was actually a helpful conversation. And telling them that I was afraid to fail, they asked me to define what that would look like. So I described what I felt failing would look like, and it would mean something like, if I tried this new challenge, like I would fail at it, I would lose the income from that, I would disappoint the people that hired me, I would disappoint the people that were relying on me to do well, I would disappoint my family, I would not be able to provide for them. And those are kind of some of the things that I described happening if I was going to fail at this new challenge. And then this person asked me if all those things were things I could control, and of the things I could control, would I allow that to happen? So some of those things that I was describing certainly were out of my control. For example, disappointment of someone else towards you. You cannot control what someone else thinks of you or how they behave towards you. You cannot control it. So stop trying. The way they feel and the way they act towards you or towards another person is as a result of their own internal dialogue. You can't control that. The way you behave and the things you do and say can have an influence on that, but how they choose to respond is up to them. So, don't go being a jerk, but just, you know, realize this, right? You can't control how someone chooses to think and then feel and then behave, okay? So don't do that. Side rant. Getting back to what I was saying, what I could control is I could control, you know, even if I did fail at the opportunity, that I could go out and get another job or get another way of making money and still provide for my family. I could control that, right? I can't control some things and I can control other things. So that conversation eliminated a lot of the concerns that I had about failing and has stuck with me for a long, long time, and definitely is in the back of my mind anytime that I'm thinking about taking on something new and I feel that little bit of fear creep up in me. It's like, well, can I control that? Can I not control that? If I can't control it, there's not a lot of point spending a lot of energy on it. You know, if you can't control it, if it happens or doesn't happen, if it's not up to you, then, you know, stop worrying about it, right? If it's something that you can control, if it's something that you can influence, then you do what you can to influence a positive outcome, right? So the point in my story is that I was feeling fearful because of the possible outcomes I had thought of in my mind based on what I thought to be a failure. And mostly these fears were distant, remote possibilities that I had enlarged and exacerbated in my mind. And as I named and realized that my fears were mostly baseless, I was able to take back control, reduce my fear level, and move forward. So this kind of brings me to the point at which we realize that we need to know what failure is. We've decided that fear is a feeling, and failure drives a lot of fear. So what is failure? Very simply, we could say that failure is missing the mark, whatever the mark is. And anyone listening right now, if you're listening, you probably immediately had an example come to mind of when you've missed the mark or you think you're going to miss the mark. That could be a sales target, a business or a personal goal, relational, fitness, whatever. Some failings are big and some are small. Point is, maybe you failed and you're okay. You're okay. You may have heard some people say that you actually have 100% success rate because you're still here today. It's an interesting idea if you think about it. You have 100% success rate. even despite however many failings and mistakes and shortcomings you've had in life, you're still here. Congratulations. So, maybe failure isn't all that bad. But what you do next is what becomes important. You may have heard of Ray Dalio. Ray founded Bridgewater Associates and is the world's largest hedge fund. Ray shares about an experience in his book, Principles, which I haven't read, but I heard about this story, and it's an incredible story. And so Ray shares about this story where an employee at Bridgewater Associates made a mistake, which cost a lot of money. It was a very big mistake. They could have fired this person, but they chose not to, and instead focused on what could be learned. Now then, Ray then created a mistake log where errors are reported, collected, and shared so everyone can learn from them. So failing doesn't get you fired at Bridgewater Associates, but not reporting your mistakes does. And I think that's actually a really cool story, and I think that that is something that businesses and leaders need to take hold of and destigmatize failing and destigmatize making mistakes and focus instead on what you can learn when there are shortcomings. You need to stop looking at failures as ultimatums, as discipline-worthy offenses, and start seeing them as opportunities to learn and grow. If you're shooting a bow and arrow, you have to spend some time missing the mark. You have to develop your skill and increase your strength before you start hitting bullseyes. Very famous quote from Michael Jordan: I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. So Michael Jordan, just to re-say that, or look at those numbers, 9,000 shots have been missed, lost almost 300 games, and 26 times has missed the game-winning shot. Like, this is one of the best, most celebrated, like, most incredible players in basketball of all time. And, like, look at the level of misses that he has experienced. And we need to get over this. We need to get over this idea that failure is bad and is, you know, an ultimatum, an ultimate dead end. So here's what I want you to do. First, I want you to decide what failure looks like for you. You might want to write it down or just verbalize it. Think about that for a minute. Decide if what you're thinking failure looks like. Decide if it's within your control or not. And then choose to do something about what you have power over. The rest, you can't do anything about, so quit worrying about it. Second, decide that failure is really going to be a learning opportunity and embrace it when it happens. It's okay to fail because you get to decide how you respond. Third, if fear is an issue for you, acknowledge how you are feeling. It's okay to be afraid. It might sound goofy, but man, like, look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know what, Rashad, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay. Remember that fear is a feeling driven by your thoughts. When you feel afraid, stop and ask yourself why. Decide if it's within your control or not, then choose to do something about what you have power over. The rest you can't do anything about, so quit worrying about it. Sounds a lot like the first part. And they are tied together, I believe, quite strongly. Now, something that's just occurring to me, not on the notes that I was preparing, but you know what? Some people might be thinking this, Rashad, I work somewhere where failure is not viewed in a positive light. Mistakes are not welcome. You know, errors are, you know, very much frowned upon. Failure is, you know, there is people getting fired or laid off because of failing, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, that comes back to knowing what you can control and what you can't control. If you're part of an environment where failure is not viewed as a learning opportunity, or perhaps they're working towards it but they're not quite there yet, or whatever, you can't control that. It sucks. I've been in places where it's like that, you know, and even small errors are made to be a big deal. But you can't control that. As much as it sucks, as much as it's just demoralizing and depressing, unfortunately, that is something that you can't control. And you have to stop worrying about that. Treat yourself with some love and compassion around mistakes. You know, work with the system that you've got and the where you're at. And ultimately, you know, if it's a place that, you know, that you cannot align with, like if you can't make the alignment in how you want to work and the type of work that you're doing, you know, ultimately that may be a decision that you have to make and maybe move on. But remember that those three things is: decide what failure looks like, decide what you what you have control over, change what you can, and let go of what you can't. Decide that failure is going to be okay. And if fear is a thing for you, acknowledge it. Remember that it's a feeling. Ask why you're feeling that way. And then move forward. So, I hope that my story, what I've said today, maybe helps you a little bit where you're at. And if you want to share what you're facing, if you would like to talk about it with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at podcast@weeklyleadershipexperience.com. I'd love to hear from you. Love to be a sounding board if you need to get some things off your chest and maybe talk a little bit. I look forward to speaking with you again next week. In the meantime, stay awesome.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, would you head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe? Leave me a rating, leave me a review, and share this with a friend. It spreads the word and helps the podcast grow. You can also find me on social media at R.E. Oberlander. Until next time, stay awesome.